Oh, goodness. Usually pastor gets up and basically says that I'm the preacher that never should have been, or the least likely to ever succeed is usually how he describes me. And I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly. But you know, the Bible does say that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I've had the privilege of starting a church in Panama City, and in through the door walked a man, very distinguished looking man, and stayed for the service. And afterwards, he said thank you, and I asked him where he had heard of the church. He said, "Oh, I was jogging yesterday, and you handed me a track and invited me to church." And couldn't find out the man's name is Rafael. He is a liaison for the Panama government for the ship captains. And his job is to interact with the captains of all the vessels that come through. And he speaks a host of different languages, Russian and everything else. And I was talking to two of my assistants. So I said, "It's amazing that someone like that would come and hear someone like me." And they both really encouraged me and quoted that verse, the foolish things of the world. But that is what we are. We are but dust, and God uses us, which is amazing to me. Luke chapter 22 this evening. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here. It's wonderful to be in church in Panama right now. They locked everything down for Christmas and for New Year's. Nobody's allowed to leave their house today, tomorrow, or all the way through Sunday, so that nobody can fellowship and party and everything else. And they've extended the quarantine through January 14th, just to be sure that nobody celebrates Christmas or New Year's. I don't know exactly how that helps the country, but we had plane tickets for January 12th. But now the country shut down through the 14th. We're not sure if the Lord's going to allow us to be able to get down in January. But please pray that God's will be done in that. We're just seeking the Lord's will. I'd like to preach a message this evening from verse 32. I'd like to read the verse and then pray. Luke 22, verse 32. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, and he says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let's pray. God, we do thank you so much for this day, and thank you for loving us. I pray to God that you please meet with us tonight and speak to our hearts. I pray to God that you please give each person the message that they need tonight through me, and of course the message that we just heard, and through Brother Smith in just a few minutes. I ask and pray that you please meet with us in a real way as we close out this year, and as we move into another year. God, I ask and pray that you please meet with us. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, most people would agree that 2020 has been definitely a different year. And in fact, it's been a revealing. If you can just look at the date, it's 2020. It's a day for, or a year for vision. And what it did is it opened our eyes to what we really were, ourselves. The world has drawn a line, and the world has been very, very plain with, you're either for us or against us. And they haven't pulled any stops. They are very plain. And so 2020 has been a very, very big unveiling of where Christians actually stand in their personal lives. But you know what? As we go into a new year, 2020 is done. Just in a couple hours, we're done with this year. And some I've heard over and over and over, let's get it done with. Let's get into another year. And really, it doesn't have to be that way. But we are going into 2021 now. As far as age wise, 21 proves a person to be an adult, Anyway, I think a lot more adult children are going to go into this year than adult adults. But here when the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Simon Peter, of course, he starts in verse 31. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. It's interesting because this is at the end of the Last Supper, when Jesus Christ has already been very plain that 11 of the disciples were washed, but one was not. It's during that conversation where he washes the disciples' feet, and he's very plain that 11 of the disciples were per se converted or Christians or believers in Jesus Christ, and one was not. John chapter 17, again, he says that he has not lost any except for the son of perdition, the disciple Judas Iscariot. So when Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, he's probably, if you would consider it this way, he's talking to a Christian. But he says, I would like for you to do something once you are converted. Now it's interesting because it's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 18 when Jesus says that to be able to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be converted and become like a little child and have the faith of a child to be able to go into the kingdom of heaven. But it's not the same of what he's talking about. It's interesting because the word converted means to turn about. It's the same word we would use for repentance. And in fact, the same Greek word is used when Jesus is walking with the multitude and the lady reaches out, the lady with the issue of blood reaches out, touches the hem of his garment. The Bible says he turns about and to see who touched him. That turning about is actually the very same Greek word that's used here in Luke 22 and also in Matthew 18. But the word converted here is not talking about salvation. Now, you have to go through the first conversion to get to this conversion. But what Jesus is saying here is not when you are born into my family. But what Jesus Christ is saying here bluntly is, Peter, spiritually, when you grow up. And he has one job for him. Now, I thought it was interesting because he uses the word converted here, which means, in the text, it means grow up. And we're about to embark on 2021. How many of us are in our faith grown up enough to really meet this coming year? It's interesting because it's funny to me because this is on the tail of something that the disciples were just disputing about. In verse 22, Jesus breaks down and says, "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." In verse 23, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." So if you can get an understanding of what's happening, Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." So the disciples begin looking at each other. Is it me? Is it you? Who is it? But then in the next verse, I see my children. Because verse 24, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Why does it matter when the Son of Man, the Son of God, just got done telling them, "One of you hoodlums is going to betray me"? So they start thinking, okay, so who is the worst among us? And then they go to, "Well, I'm the greatest." No, come on now. You remember when? I've got to be the greatest. And there's a bicker amongst them. I don't know about you, but in my house I have seven. My oldest is seven. I am telling you, we cannot do anything without a fight. One thing that I try to do with my children every morning is we brush our teeth together. And I call them, let's brush our teeth. And there is a fight. Who got to the bathroom door first? I mean, come on now. And it's always that way. And it's, okay, well, I'm closer to the door. You know, I may have lost the first fight, but I'm closer to the door. No, I'm closer to the door. Will you please stop? And it seems like I see the same person in Jesus Christ as he's dealing with his disciples. Come on, guys. Are you really going to talk about this now? And this is on in context of what Jesus is saying. So in context, he goes over a couple things that Peter is going to have to do in order to grow up spiritually. Look in verse 19, he says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." First of all, he demonstrates sacrifice. Now, an adult Christian, and when I'm talking about an adult, I'm not talking about years and really not how many years we are saved, but how mature we are spiritually. One of the concepts that we have to embrace is sacrifice. Because, listen, before we can go, there's a lot of people that are willing to go. But they haven't gotten one concept that comes before the going. And that is leaving. Now, it may seem simple, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians that would be willing to do something for Christ, but they haven't gotten through the giving up what I'm doing right now to be able to. And folks, we're embarking on a brand new year. If we're going to grow in the Lord and grow in grace as we have been commanded to, one of the things that we're going to have to do is give up something in order to do more for Christ, in order to take the next step and grow a little bit in our faith and in our service. We will never be able to go until we first leave. Look at something else, verse 26. Let's read verse 25. Of course, in verse 24, they're bickering about who's the greatest. And Jesus is going to have to be the referee, just like a good father. And in verse 25, he says, "And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve." So he's trying to teach his disciples. And by the way, this is one of his last lessons to teach. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to give his life. He's giving a few of his last instructions to his disciples. And this comes before, "Peter, grow up so that you can do something for me." And he says, listen, "He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger." So I look at this as being selfless. First of all, we have to grasp the concept of sacrifice. But number two, we need to grasp the concept of selflessness. Now, selflessness is not exactly sacrifice. You can sacrifice without being selfless. But you can't be selfless without sacrifice. For instance, a military man is sacrificing and he's laying his life on the line, but sometimes it's not because of selflessness. Sometimes it's his career and that is his mentality. But you cannot be selfless without sacrifice. Selfless is I die daily. Sacrifice is a leaving, a putting aside, or a leaving behind something that I specifically want, or per se putting it on the altar and giving up what I would like to have. Selflessness is a lifestyle. Selflessness is a constant denial of oneself. Amen. It's sort of like Paul when he says, "I die daily." He had to constantly, every day of his life, put himself aside so that he could live for others. And by the way, selflessness is not just an emptying of myself to be empty. It's in order to. The sacrifice is the act. The selflessness is really the reason behind it. It's in order to be able to. It's sort of like sanctification. So many people look at sanctification as, okay, I'm separated from the world, but that's really not what sanctification is. I'm set apart from the world, yes, but the whole idea behind it is to be able to be sanctified to Him, not from anything. Yes, I'm going to be separated from, but and that's the idea of selflessness. It is the reason why I sacrifice. It's in order to be able to do more. But look at one other thing, if you would. Verse 26, the Bible says, But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. So he also teaches this concept of service. He teaches sacrifice. He teaches selflessness. He teaches service. And then he comes down to verse 31. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Now if you don't understand the analogy here, that he may sift you as wheat. Just talk to a farmer. The sifting is in order to leave out what's not supposed to be there, to keep what is good. Sometimes a sifting in the olden days would be throwing into the wind. The chaff would be driven away with the wind, and that which has nourishment, that which has weight, the actual seed would drop back down onto the blanket or whatever they threw it up to. But Satan doesn't sift in order to keep what is good. He just sifts to remind us of what the chaff was. And he does that. And he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, or if I may say it like this, when you grow up, he has one job for him. He says, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. You see, a newborn Christian, he's still taking in the milk. He's still growing. He's still learning. He's still this, that, and the other. But a Christian who has been saved a length of time and has received the Word of God is expected to be at a higher level of understanding and service. And God says, listen, and it's just like in my family, my son Daniel, 6 years old, Deborah is 7 years old, I expect them to act in a different way than Daisy and Donna. Daisy and Donna are 2 and 1. Why? Because they're older. And more than that, they know what daddy wants. And so when Daisy and Donna act like a baby, I kind of expect that. But I don't expect it out of my 7-year-old and 6-year-old. When they start crying because they don't get their way, it's not a matter of, oh, poor you. It's come, let's take care of this. Okay? And in God's family, God looks at his children and he looks at those who have been saved a length of time, who have received the nourishment of the Word of God, and he says, okay, I need you to strengthen your brother over here. I need you to strengthen your sister over here. Why are you bickering and fighting? What are you doing? Who cares about who's greatest? I have a job for you. And he says, listen, I would like for you to grow in the faith. I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. I kind of been trying to field out in my own life. I know I need a little bit of growing to do. So as I look at 2021, I'm praying, God, can you get me to the next level, my spiritual growth? Not for me. But God, I know that there's people here, there's people in Panama. Some of them are fallen, some of them have been kicked down. Some of them are hurting. And I can't help anybody if I'm a baby spiritually. God says, hey, listen, the whole desire behind you growing up as a Christian is so that you can strengthen the brethren. Let's pray.